was quite, I have to admit, it was very, you made it a very comfortable a transition for me. So that was fun.
As I say, I fake it to make it. That's all we're doing here.
Hey, hard to believe. You know, the coaches talk about last week being not only the beginning of talking season, but it's really the beginning of the psychological standpoint of really preparing yourself mentally for an upcoming season. And Jay and I had the pleasure. We sat down and visited with the redshirt freshman quarterback for Ole Miss, Matt Corral, and it just seemed like, you know, if you're looking for a definition of getting yourself mentally ready for an upcoming season, it just seemed like all the bells and whistles finally went off that, hey, he's the guy. You know, he has known that for a while, but now he knows he's taken over that offense, and that's just one of the pleasant surprises that we learned over the 4 days of last week. And, oh, before you know it, I mean, here you got the Titans reporting on Thursday, and their first practice in training camp starts on Friday.
Yeah, any coach you talk to, it's almost like the season is snuck up on them. I mean, we know that as long as the drought is from when football ends, we go ahead and count down the days. Of course, on Twitter, you see, you know, 150 days till football, 5 Saturdays till football, 100 days. Next thing you know, it's here, and you know, you already have a win or a loss after week one, and things really get real. And that's the great thing about SEC Media Days is that's the unofficial, as you guys know, kickoff to the football season, and that's when it becomes real. That's when you have to take questions, and that's when you know, you're like Derek Mason, you have to go and you have to show off Vanderbilt, and you already start to rack up either wins or losses just in front of television cameras.
Just over 2 weeks away, 17 days away for the Titans, their very first preseason game coming up on Thursday, August 8th. They'll be in Philadelphia. That's all fine. I'm still anticipating, looking forward to later in training camp, when not only the Titans play the New England Patriots on that Saturday, August 17th, but they get the 2 days of practice sessions with the Patriots as well, as far as the scrimmages are concerned, on that Wednesday, Thursday.
Yeah, and that's where the majority of the work's going to come, because you can do so much in those 2 days without tackling, without hurting your guys, putting them in different situations, you know, switching from offense to defense. You know, sometimes the players don't know the script, and it's very game-like, and there's no better team to do it. I mean, Mike Vrabel's using his connections. You know, he didn't talk to Bill Belichick for a couple of years after he cut him, but he's using that connection to make his football team better. You can't think of a better team to play in 2 days of practice than to have them at St. Thomas Sports Park than the Patriots. And honestly, from a fan standpoint, not a fan standpoint, but just you know, what my job is and what your job is, Tom Brady not only being on the same field but possibly walking right beside us is pretty darn cool, in my opinion.
Well, the other part about that, and, you know, it's still, you know, you think about somebody with that type of experience under his belt, but he still has to get ready for an upcoming season. I'm looking forward to watching Tom Brady in practice. I've never had the privilege to watch him in a practice session. I'm looking forward over the 2 days to watch and see how he approaches practice on a daily basis.
Yeah, you know, I got to see him play against the Titans in the playoffs 2 years ago. I got to see him really at his worst I've ever seen him in person and even on television last year against the Titans. I imagine he's got that laser focus, you know, he talks about all the time in practice. And, you know, he's got receivers that he doesn't know really what he's going to get out of outside of Julian Edelman. He's got a new tight end. He's got a drafted wide receiver. You know, Juwan Williams will be the cornerback. That'll be cool for him to come back and kind of see how he matches up with a Corey Davis. You know, first round pick. So it'll be interesting to see how, you know, he matches up with the Titans receivers, because they expect a lot out of him, especially with his intelligence coming from Vanderbilt. You know, that kind of fits in with the whole Bill Belichick scheme and system of things that they have running there.
By the way, we get the list.
Second round pick, right?
Well, today we get the list, by the way, from the Tennessee Titans as far as those individuals that are on the PUP list physically unable to perform. There's tight end Jonnu Smith. There's defensive lineman Jarrell Casey. There's kicker Ryan Succop. A couple of names that are certainly not on this list. I don't see Jack Conklin, which is a major thumbs up for the Titans with regards to that.
Absolutely.
And I don't see tight end Delanie Walker either.
Yeah, Delanie, you know, is I think he said he was around 85% at the end of mandatory mini camp, which is certainly a good sign for him. I imagine a guy that his age with Mike Vrabel going into year two, that they're going to give him a couple of days off, probably every 3 or 4 days off, if I had to guess, which would be a good idea. Yeah, that's a good sign for Jack Conklin, because it is a big year for him after the Titans didn't pick up his fifth-year option. Suckup's kind of a surprise, and we didn't see him a whole lot during practices in the offseason. Darrell Casey obviously had that injury from last year. And Jonnu Smith, yeah, we haven't seen him either, but you'd imagine he's on the mend. I've seen a couple of videos of him, I believe, on his Instagram. He's looking swole as ever, so you'd think he's in good shape when he is finally given the go-ahead.
Hey, are you thinking that when you look at this roster for 2019, to me, it's probably just those last 5 or 6 spots for somebody to earn a chance, an opportunity beyond that? I don't see any major roster fights as far as over the next 5, 6 weeks.
I mean, everybody's going to preach competition. You know, Mike Vrabel's going to sell it day one. But if you look at this roster, quarterback, linebacker, you know, interior offense, inside lineman, just about every position, we know what you have and what you're going to get and who's going to make the roster. If anything's going to be left up for debate, it's probably that 4th or 5th wide receiver position. And that, as the coaches will tell you all the time, comes down to the versatility and what they can do, you know, on special teams and elsewhere and however they can help the football team. But we know that, you know, sadly, somebody's going to go down in training camp. It's just a matter of how much time they're going to miss. You don't wish that on anybody, but football, as Mike Vrabel says, 100% of the time you're going to get hurt. So, whoever makes the 53-man roster, 54, 55, and 56 are surely going to play throughout the season if they don't get picked up by another team. So, yeah, the Titans have a really good roster, probably John Robinson's best roster since he's been here at Tennessee, which is why it's such a big year for him, Marcus Mariota, and the Titans franchise to go from good to great, as we've heard so much this offseason, from 9-7 to can they get a wild card berth? Can they, you know, win the division? They really need to win the division. That would be big, but it's going to be hard to beat Andrew Luck once, especially twice, and that's probably what it's going to take if they're going to have to take down the Colts, which they got to be the favorites, the odds-on favorites to win the AFC South.
Justin Beasley joining us. After hearing some of the comments and stuff coming out of SEC Media Days, Vanderbilt, Tennessee, et cetera, I'm still stunned, and it wasn't even close when the media made their selections with Vanderbilt being 7th of the teams as far as the SEC East is concerned, but it wasn't even close between 6th and 7th. I think that's a huge mistake. Your thoughts?
You know, the thing is, I think Vanderbilt has a really good team. I take Derek Mason's word for it that it's one of the best teams he's had. I think he said the best team he's had at Vanderbilt. And those three guys, I mean, I could see them putting up really big numbers, Jared Pinkney, Kalijah Lipscomb, and Keyshawn Vaughn, and still maybe losing, you know, a high-scoring game. I mean, those guys can have good seasons, and they can still lose. I just think their schedule as it starts out, you know, if you start 0-3, you know, I've heard a lot of talk, you can start 0-3, the season's not over, keep your composure and keep winning. That's hard to keep a buy-in when you start the season, there's so much excitement, and you start out 0-3. I mean, we've seen Georgia come into Vanderbilt and just absolutely demolish them with the run game. That's hard psychologically to move on the next week and take that beating in week one. Georgia's a hard first team to play, especially when you played MTSU the past couple of seasons. So, I don't know. I don't have a prediction of where Vanderbilt's going to finish in the SEC East, but, I mean, you look at all the good teams in it, you know, if they don't win the games that they should, you know, last place in the SEC East is kind of fitting. But it wouldn't surprise me if they're better than that either, just because of those three guys are being back. It's just going to come down to what the quarterback can do, and, you know, Derek Mason can tell us what he wants. You know, I just don't know that he knows what he has at quarterback, because we haven't seen those guys with live bullets in a Vanderbilt uniform yet.
Maybe not, but Riley Neal looked pretty good with Ball State. And you go back to, okay, how can you put, if it is 0-3, I think they'll find.
Ball State compared to the SEC too, though.
I understand that. But here's the thing. You know, if you look at 0-3, everybody assumes 0-3. And I certainly see Georgia, LSU as losses. I think that Vanderbilt has every opportunity to go on the road and beat Purdue, you know, at Purdue. But say it is 0-3. It's not like then they have Alabama or Clemson or whatever next. They've got a winnable game starting, you know, after the LSU game against Northern Illinois. Then they got a very winnable game at Ole Miss, and then they got a very winnable game hosting UNLV. So if you start 0-3, for example, I think it's going to be 1-2, but then you have a chance to reverse that over your next three football games and get yourself back on the right track.
Yeah, but if you're Ole Miss and Missouri and South Carolina and Florida, you know, that are next, you think those are winnable games too. I mean, they kind of look at Vanderbilt the same way Vanderbilt looks at them. I'm just saying that there's a psychological toll starting out 0-3 that a lot of people aren't accounting for. They're just putting losses on paper. I mean, you can argue this till we're blue in the face. It's just, you know, you just worry. You just don't know how they're going to come out of those games as far as health-wise, because LSU and Georgia physically are always some of the top dogs in the SEC, you can agree on.
Well, see, I go just the opposite, too, if you want to look at, say, Tennessee, for example. I think they get off to a 3-0 start. So what happens mentally, you know, and that's just the fun part of being mentally tough in the psychology of football, what happens to a Tennessee team that's still learning how to win games, still learning how to deal with success and putting, you know, failures behind them? What happens to them when they go 3-0 and then all of a sudden they struggle and you know, win only maybe, if they're fortunate, one game in their next four? How are they going to deal with it then in the stretch run?
Yeah, 3-0 would be good. I mean, I could see that with this Tennessee team. And then they play Florida the next week, which, you know, they've lost, what, 12 of their last 13 against Florida. Can certainly beat them on any given Saturday. But football's a lot about how the schedule sets up. We see it in the NFL. We see it in college. Especially, you know, psychologically for a college kid. Tennessee starting 3-0, they could go in and beat Florida. I don't see them beating Georgia the next week, but, I mean, at least they have a manageable schedule if they're that good before they play, you know, the likes of Alabama, and that's really the toughest opponent on their schedule. I could see them certainly finishing better than fifth in the SEC East, but, again, when you start doing their schedules for everybody and the wins and losses, I mean, fifth isn't a bad spot when you look at everything objectively, but, you know, Tennessee, I think they expect to be better than that. And I wouldn't be too surprised if they could finish fourth in the SECs, but they're not finishing in front of Florida or Georgia, in my opinion. There's no way that happens.